Stat Figure Podcast, episode 14. Tom's running a little late, so I'm going to take some calls and try to be like my hero, Mike Francesa, you know, have some back and forth with our loyal audience. So we'll see how it goes. First, I have Jamal in New Jersey. He says he has a problem, maybe with the show.
Actually, what's the problem is I took some pills, and I took two Viagra pills, and my erection had been up for like 4 days, and there hasn't been any signs of change whatsoever, and I'm really sick.
3 days and 20 hours ago, you should have gone to the hospital. That's what the commercials say. Matt in Staten Island.
Hey, guys, it's Matt from Staten Island. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just want to say I really love what you guys do on this podcast, especially Brian.
That's Ryan,
Brian, you're
but
a real
whatever.
Funny guy, man. Tom, just the insight is great. You're very smart, knowledgeable on the subject of baseball. And Brian, you know, you're really, really, really funny guy, Brian. But I just wanted to say 2 points real quick. First, do you think the Yankees are going to win the divisional game versus the Rangers? And second, do you think Mark Teixeira is going to have a bounce back 2017 year? I'm going to hang up and just listen. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call, Matt. That'll be it. We'll just end at two calls. Thank you so much, guys. I mean, I guess it's not their fault, like Jersey and Staten Island, but...
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you got a hand tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around, nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, so... Sorry, Tom. You were running late. I tried to take some calls. Clearly a fail, but thank you guys for participating.
You're welcome.
Cap. Oh, I didn't know you were Matt or Jamal. Cap Figure Podcast, episode 14. I'm Ryan DiPaolo, and what's your name, bro?
My name is Tom McLaughlin. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, people.
So, it's the middle of the playoffs. I wish we could have did two episodes this week, but we both got mad busy stuff. But so we'll get right into it. We got mad stuff. We got series to review. We got series to preview. And we got series to Ginu.
Ginu.
Yo, so, all right. So we were arguing before the show. You're more interested in previewing the future, and I'm more interested in the past. That tells us that I'm more of a depressed person because, like, or like a regretful, and you're more of an anxious person, right? Because if you're in the future, you're in fear and you're anxious, and if you're in the past, you're full of regret and despair.
And that's your free psychology lesson for the day.
That's my free psychology lesson for the day.
Thank you, Dr. Jamal.
Live in the present, people.
See, Jamal's
I hope
out
he's
to
okay,
right
dude.
Sources.
Please, I hope he's okay. Priapism is 4 hours, not 4 days. So, So the Red Sox scored like by far the most runs in the AL this year. And they were held to 7 runs in 3 games. That's crazy. And in part Terry Francona is I loved it. He used Andrew Miller not as a closer twice.
Yeah, I think people are starting to realize again why he was considered, you know, one of the, if not the best managers in baseball until everybody sort of hopped onto the Joe Maddon train. But Tito, I mean, he's always sort of been...
That's what the insiders call him, Tito.
When he started his career, he was not as forward-thinking with his bullpen. But, I mean, the way he has approached it this year is right in line with, you know, sabermetric theory. And I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where I think that now that he has done it and Andrew Miller has gotten the recognition he has and deservedly so by just being a team player, I think that this is going to start to catch on more around the league. And I think even the very cold-hearted closer that only wants to close the ninth, now they realize like, oh, if I play this part of like I'll pitch in whatever inning, maybe I'll get paid still.
Yeah, well, that's the key. Like they need to start getting paid. It's funny that Andrew Miller is the one who took a team friendly deal to stay with the Yankees, but he deserves way more. It's like not only is he coming in the highest leverage situation, he pitched two innings in two games. You know, like most closers, even, well, in the playoffs, managers push them to try to get two-inning saves, but then stuff like Aroldis in Game 3 happens. But
so we were even, you say two innings, but the thing is, it's, yeah, two full innings. But we, I think I even mentioned this to you, and it kind of gets tossed under the rug. He came in one inning, got an out, pitched the next inning, and then came into the next inning.
So yeah,
he,
yeah,
he touched three innings.
Right, right, right. In game
which to
one,
me is
yeah.
greater than just coming in and, you know,
you're, no, you're right.
two innings.
No, that's absolutely, that's a really good point. And that's great. And not, I mean, that's what makes him so much more valuable. Like I was texting you, he pitched 10 more innings than Zach Britton this year.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much more. That's like 10-15% more, or maybe not them, but like a lot more. It's amazing for 78 to 60. So anyway, so that's super valuable. But the other biggest takeaway from the Red Sox-Indian series for me is David Price. Like, that's game two. You understand Rick Porcello had a, maybe an outlier season, maybe a breakout season, whatever. But he loses game one. And Trevor Bauer, but really Andrew Miller was the key, you know, outpitched Rick Porcello essentially
MVP.
In that game. Right, yeah. Because going into it, it was like a tied game basically. Or the Indians had a baby lead, but Andrew Miller closed the door. So anyway, that was a team effort on the Indians. But then game two, Corey Kluber, David Price, this is what you bought him for, and he's never won a playoff game that his teams have started. And that's real. That's a lot of games. That's crazy. 0-9 in starts. I mean, that's his actual record, like losses he was credited with in the playoffs. But he'd come in relief here and there in those games his teams won, but...
Yeah, he won that game out of the bullpen, game four against Texas last
year.
Yeah,
and that was weird. R.A. Dickey started, had a big lead, and people thought John Gibbons put in David Price because he secretly wanted to start Stroman in game five, and that he couldn't, like if he didn't waste Price in that game last year, then he would have had to start him game five. And because Price has been so bad in the playoffs, people suspected that he secretly wanted to... because they had like a 6-run lead and he used Price, but it was weird. Anyway.
I mean, the tipping point, it seems here, is he had in 2008 when they made that run into the World Series, he came out of the bullpen and then he pitched well in his starts as a starter for Tampa Bay in the playoffs. But, you know, since he, Detroit, Toronto, Boston, I mean, he's kind of just been a disaster in the playoffs.
No, he only Well, he didn't even pitch that great. He gave up 9 hits, 8 hits in his starts for Tampa Bay.
Hashtag.
7 hits, 9 hits. Yeah, these are his starts for Tampa Bay. 9 hits, 8 hits, 7 hits, 9 hits. Then I guess his best start, oh, I remember that, was the ALDS Game 3, Detroit against Baltimore, where the one hit was Nelson Cruz home run, and he gave it up. And when he was with Detroit that year, they had Scherzer, Verlander, and him, and they got swept. It was pretty crazy. So anyway,
hashtag like, face it, fake ace.
Do you think it's real fake ace? Is that a real hashtag going around?
I don't know, but I want to start it.
He only went 3.1 innings. I mean, and he gave up 5 earned runs. That is in a 5-game series. You have one game like that, you lose. Like, that's it.
Yeah, and he, you know, you can't make any excuses. It's a small sample size. It's one start, but Cleveland is not a tough lineup for what should be one of the elite left-handed starting pitchers in the game.
His home run rate is like double what it usually in the playoffs. But do you think this is a small sample size, or do you think it's a big enough like it's 66.2 innings, all his career playoff innings, and his ERA is 5.5. Like, I mean,
I think that he's just overrated in general, and I think that when you know, the start he had to his career, I think there was this story built up. He was a number one overall pick. He pitched at Vanderbilt. He's the best college pitcher. He worked his way up the ranks. He came in out of relief, but if you kind of just look at his regular season statistics, even, I mean, he's not in that upper echelon of pitchers.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's just he's had that narrative since he's been younger. You know, Team USA, under 13, ace of the staff. You know, when you go up the ranks and you're the top pitcher at every level, it just kind of builds this narrative. And so people kind of attach this.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was thinking the same thing with Jason Hayward about the Cubs and why I'm like, I was like, man, I'm so surprised he's like having such a bad year in playoff, but that's kind of who Jason Hayward is. It's just because he's been so highly – yeah, that is funny. The narrative – so that is part of it. I bet you part of it is that he's just pressing harder and stuff. But
I'm sure.
You're right. He is a guy who has a bad start of every five and presses a little. But he is really good. I don't know. Who the hell knows? So, I mean, also, one of his biggest attributes is that he's an innings eater, and that's never a great sign to some extent when it's like that's what makes you good. So anyway, so the Red Sox – didn't score runs. Big Poppy is poppying. I don't know what that is. He's
selling pepperoni pizzas.
He's going to become a beard barber to have the perfect Dominican angles on your chin. And the other series that ended was the Giants, the bullpen. Their bullpen, which is the reason they lost their big lead to the Dodgers.
5-2 entering the ninth.
Crazy. 5-2. I stopped watching. Me and my dad, I was watching that whole game. I went to get ready for bed, and then I turned the game back on, and the Cubs were celebrating. I was like, what happened? Like, and it's crazy, too, because the Giants' bullpen had been good in recent years, or good enough. Like, you know enough names. Like, you know, Romo and Casilla and Derek Law, the rookie, pitched really well this season. Hunter Strickland can throw 100 miles an hour. I don't understand why their bullpen has struggled. Obviously, they have because they're not that good. But, I mean, it's funny that in a bullpen where you're aware of so many names and maybe some of their individual stats are well that – you know, I could see here the argument that closers, you know, players, the anti-saber metric will say, I like to know if I'm the closer, I like to know that I'm going to have a long leash and get this whole inning or not. Maybe that plays into it because he used five pitchers in that inning, obviously, and that each pitcher is like has all the pressure on them to get one out. But then again, I don't blame Bruce Bochy, and his reputation is justified for being one of the best bullpen managers there is. There's just nothing he can do when they're performing that bad, right?
Yeah, I listened to an analysis of, you know, Bochy going through all of those pitchers, and I think – you know, the Giants, the bullpen was their Achilles heel all year. They had 30 blown saves, which is an absolute extraordinary amount for one regular season. You think about it, if you win, say, 85 to 90 games, 30 blown saves.
Yeah, that's insane.
You know, what happened at the trade deadline, we all saw it. There were only a couple of elite relief pitchers available, and the Yankees had two of the three. I think the Giants, they decided, you know, because of the market and what prospects they had, that they were going to invest in Eduardo Nunez, getting Matt Moore. And, you know, you can't really blame them because the market just dictated, you know, if you could get Eduardo Nunez and Matt Moore, who pitched phenomenally, you know, you can make a case for getting him instead of, say, Mark Melanson.
Yeah. I don't blame them for thinking they can get away. I don't blame them for trying to... like, there's nothing you could do. The Cubs are just too good as part of this. Like, there's nothing you can do. And I don't blame them for not doing anything at the trade deadline. I think it just is what it is. Because, like, I would think I could get away with Sergio Romo and Derek Law and you know, whoever else, Hunter Strickland. Like, even though they perform bad, I would rather have an upgrade at third base and an upgrade in my rotation. Have four awesome starters. Like, Matt Moore pitched so well. Like, have four great starters in the playoff. Like, I'd rather have a deep rotation. But, you know, more and more I'm coming around to agreeing with you. Like, as I watch playoff baseball, I forget every year how much it matters to have – like, Andrew Miller is changes the series, even though it's only four innings. But then on the other hand, I go back to my old thinking when I see Aroldis Chapman blows a save. It's like, okay, was it really worth it? I mean,
the one other thing we can say, the Giants, they have each of these like nice pieces. Romo has a great slider. But other than that, the guys out of their bullpen don't really have, you know, what's like referred to as swing and miss stuff. And especially when you get guys on base, you know, you need a strikeout. A strikeout becomes so key in that situation.
Well, Derek Law kind of does, but he's a rookie, whatever.
Bochy should not have taken him out after one batter, because if you look at Law's splits, he's actually better against lefties. And I think you can leave him in there for Rizzo, then you have another righty coming up after. The other big issue was that pitch that was thrown to Javier Baez. It was 0-2. And they threw him a fastball right over the middle of the plate.
They were saying John Smoltz was saying in the game throw him sliders. He's trying to hit a homer. He's just swinging as hard as he can, and he gives him a fastball. I know he bailed him out with a Hunter Strickland, but, you know, can you blame him for throwing 100? But maybe you can. So anyway, so the Giants are done. The Cubs, everybody was saying that, like, even that day, Buster Olney was like, oh, if the Giants get a lead, I could see that getting in the Cubs' head and then blowing it.
Well, yeah, you got Cueto and Mad Bum in Game 5.
Yeah, that's... no, I mean, and Theo Epstein, they kept showing him during the broadcast. He looked like he was, like, pooped his pants the whole game. He literally looked like he was sitting in his own feces, and like he had the face on, like, I just pooped my pants. I have to hide it from everyone around me, even though they can smell it. I can't move, or they'll all know it was me. Like, he looked as uncomfortable as you could possibly be, or like at a wedding.
He generally kind of looks that way. But.
Yeah, but I mean, he relieved a little when they won. But yeah, that's got to be crazy. Oh, my God. Imagine what's going through your head when you're there. And then Anthony Rizzo has a great walk, that great at-bat, you know, Ben Zobrist. And then Joe Maddon is so, like, I mean, he's spoiled with this amazing bench that's ridiculous, mm-hmm. and he could do so many things. Like, and this is an example of, like, what you like and, all like, your advocacy for having versatility at all these positions, that he can pinch hit for Addison Russell and then end up with that.
Bring in Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, Wilson Contreras. And then you can put Baez at short and then move Zobrist. You know, you could do all these things. It's pretty cool. And he, and in the post game, he knew every step, but like, he had it all thought out. It was cool.
There was the one situation where I believe that he brought up a left-handed hitter. I think it was
Chris Coughlin.
Yeah, he brought up the left-handed hitter. Bruce Bochy made the change, and then he brought in Contreras.
Exactly.
And, I mean, yeah, you're kind of burning Coughlin, but, I mean, is he going to come into the game? You might as well.
Well, you're down. Yeah, it's the ninth inning.
You're getting the matchup you want.
Hell yeah.
But, again, the key to that is Javier Baez is a shortstop on 25 major league rosters, and Chris Bryant is... I mean, the fact that these guys are willing to play all these different positions,
Ben
it's
Zobrist
unbelievable.
Too. Ben Zobrist plays second. I forgot for a minute that he was their second baseman for a big chunk of the season. You know, it's like, it's crazy because Baez is playing so well in the field. So anyway, the Giants are done. And by the way, they beat my Mets. Those are my only two long bets for the playoffs. It was $50 to win $1,000 on each, the Mets and the Giants. Familia blew it, so whatever.
Jerry's.
That's the first time you read his name. We were on the subway back from a game, and we were checking the final score, and you're like, oh my God, your closer's name is Jerry's?
Jerry's.
And this woman on the subway was like, yeah. Like, she like butted in.
Jerry's.
Don't judge it.
Jerry's, you throw the ball well, except when you really need to.
Except you always allow people on base.
Somos familia.
So... the other series, the Blue Jays, just real quick, they swept the Rangers. The Rangers, Cole Hamels didn't pitch well.
Darvish didn't pitch well.
I mean, I guess you could sort of predict. No, but Cole Hamels has been so good in the playoffs, but a lefty against that lineup maybe is predictable. Yeah, you didn't pitch that well. It's just like a short series. That's what goes down when an offense like them gets hot. But like the Red Sox are the counter argument for like when you're so lineup reliant and then they go bad. That's why they all say it's about pitching in the playoffs. But, like, this is the good side of the bad.
Well, there's a bigger story that I take away from watching both of those series be swept. And maybe it's a little bit of an overreaction. But those were the two teams that had locked up the divisions early. So do you think that they kind of got into coast mode?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I mean, people said that the Red Sox not, like, fighting more to have home field. Could have heard. Yeah, no, that's a really interesting point.
And I mean, what about the other thing? No, I mean, I heard this on MLB Now last night. You know, the whole thing with the Big Poppy reunion tour. If I'm a player on the Red Sox, having a pregame ceremony at the start of each game, that throws off, you know, kind of like your vibe. You know, you're all warmed up, ready for the game, and Big Poppy every game comes out, he's getting boots now. Yeah, it's like
well, I'm a veteran, Tom, you know, and I'm ready for anything. And I was on the Yankees 2 years ago, and I was there for Jeter's farewell tour, so really it doesn't bother me. But I know that Mookie told me in text that it really irritates him that, you know, David Ortiz gets some credit for his borderline MVP season.
Got it.
So then the other series, Game 5, is tonight. where Daniel Murphy, I miss you so much, baby. Please come home. Please, you know, please come back. He's just killing it.
It's unbelievable.
Yo, he's the best, nerdiest looking player of all time. Like, he cannot, like, God mixed up, like, hitting ability with the body that he was supposed, like, there's an assembly line, and it's like, all right, this hitting ability goes in this body. He, like, there was an oversight, and the body of Daniel Murphy got the hitting of a Big Poppy, or not Big Poppy, you know, whatever. You know
what I mean? He looks like he has the body type of, like, one of my friends who's an accountant at a big four firm.
With a curly hair.
He has the
stuff.
Name,
oh
the
my
hair,
God. I know.
The speech.
The bad fielding.
But then he has just this swing. It's just unbelievable. It's, I mean, he has just really perfected.
He really did.
The art of hitting.
He did permanently change his hitting. I mean, it's funny to, it's easy to forget that even before last year in the playoffs, he had made an all-star team in 2013, I think it was. He hit, like, was hitting 290 at the break. He ended up hitting 300 on that year. And he was good. I mean, he's been good for the Mets. But back then, he wasn't doing anything else. And before last postseason, all he was a high batting average. He doesn't walk that much. And he wasn't hitting home runs like he was this year.
Yeah, the power is really taking it to another level.
And also, when you hit 340, it makes it like another level. So, but it's not gone as directly as you suspected, where the lefty like Rich Hill eliminated you know, the Murphy, Harper, even Clayton, even though he won both his starts, like, you know, that was the big talk, like, theory, which makes sense, and maybe tonight could still change that when Rich Hill plays them, but Murphy had both super clutch game-winning hits against Rich Hill the first time, and Bryce Harper was still walking a lot, and he had a big double, you know, and even against Kershaw, Harper had a great at-bat in the first inning and a good walk. Also, I forgot about
Jason Worth.
All the good right-handers. Right. We were listing all the good righties with good splits against lefties, and we were lamenting that Wilson Ramos was out, but we forgot about Jason Worth. You know, we remembered Rendon.
Zimmerman.
Yeah, Zimmerman and you know, whatever, but
I mean, they have Michael Taylor off the bench, too.
Yeah. I mean, they're just, I forgot that what
the
they're
Nationals
capable
are
of against
the team.
Lefty. Yeah. And those guys would, if Daniel Murphy can hit lefties the way he has, then you would rather face a lefty with their lineup.
I agree.
You know, which is not what I would have thought, because Bryce and Murphy were carrying the offense earlier in the season, so you never would have thought that would be the case.
I mean, Murphy still is kind of carrying the team. Jason Worth, I think, is obviously like the X factor in all of this, because it's unbelievable. Anytime he's up in a pressure situation is when you can count on him.
It's crazy.
Otherwise,
I
mean, he literally has done nothing the past 2.5 years.
Yeah, he sucks. I don't like him, but he's played so well. And again, part of that is because of his splits. And so, like, you get him, Rendon, and Zimmerman against lefties, you would, like, take that. Danny Espinosa sucks, but whatever. It's like they have two auto outs, their pitcher and their shortstop. But Trey Turner's great. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, he's another one.
Who do you think's going to win tonight? It's Rich Hill versus Max Scherzer.
Yeah, I find it really hard to believe that the Dodgers are going to be able to put up enough runs to beat Scherzer. I do like the fact that the Dodgers have Hill and then Julio Urias out of the bullpen. But, you know, the way Murphy's hitting, I think Bryce Harper is also – that at-bat he had against Kershaw was one of the best at-bats I've seen
in a while. In the first inning yesterday?
Where he –
two days ago?
He had those two great takes and he had a walk.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it made Kershaw throw 9 pitches and, like – yeah, Bryce, it's funny, for the bad season he's had, he still walked over 100 times. Like, he still has a great eye.
Yeah, I got to go with the Nationals tonight.
Yeah, I'm rooting for them. What do you think about them deciding to start Clayton yesterday, or 2 days ago, I mean?
Yeah, I heard, I was reading something by Dave Cameron on FanGraphs, which was basically, okay, even the point isn't to just win game 4 to get to game 5, it's to win game 4 and game 5.
Yeah.
But I still think you kind of have to put Kershaw out there.
Well, they were saying that he could go deeper even on 3 days rest than Urias could have, and that because Kenta Maeda only went 3 innings, that they used their whole bullpen the day before, and that they needed the length, which is funny that Urias can only go, you know, these pitches these days are so babied. No, but, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, he's 20 years old. You can throw
– I know. He can pitch more than Kershaw in 3 days. I know. It's ridiculous. And then if you're down, you can still use Kershaw because it's at all costs get through the game.
I agree. I think – I don't think that they – it's one of those things where it's such a bold move to not have Kershaw, because especially when you see the way that the fans and the media reacted to – you know, Buck Showalter keeping Britton on the bench.
Yeah.
It's so hard not to use the best player.
And he wanted to pitch. And he wanted, they said he went to Dave Roberts and was like, yo, let me pitch. So also, if you're him, how do you face, if you lose and then you go face the rest of your team?
Yeah,
Kershaw's in the corner talking to the other pitchers like, yeah, I wanted to pitch, but this guy didn't let me. You lose your team then.
Absolutely.
So like, I mean, I get it. So Scherzer in the postseason has been good. I mean, let me see. What is this?
No, he lost game one.
No, yeah, I mean in general.
Yeah, he's pitched well.
He's like himself, like a 3.9 ERA.
I mean, the big matchup
in 11 starts, actually, though. That's more starts than I realized Scherzer had in the playoffs.
Because he was on Detroit
on
those deep runs.
Right, all those years. You're right.
The key matchups, you know, for Scherzer, obviously, you have the Corey Seager matchup tonight. But then I think Justin Turner, you know, obviously he's probably their second best hitter. But if he can kind of keep those two in check, I think he should be able to sort of coast through the rest of that lineup.
Yeah. Well, you know, Scherzer is Scherzerly. Like, he is, does what he does in the playoffs. Like, he gave up more home runs than you would like. But in 68 innings, he struck out 85 guys. But watching game one, I was thinking, like, maybe he's trying too hard to strike guys out. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that, it, like, I don't really know what you're giving up by trying to strike everybody out. Maybe your pitch count or going deep in the game.
But that's it, like we were saying, that's exactly what you want in postseason baseball, is you want guys who strike out a lot.
Right, right.
Because once the ball's in play, then it's a whole nother variable.
Right. Like you saw the Cubs get a run and stay in that game. In just Baez, just grounding out, there's an error, he goes to third, and then they're able to tag him up, right? That was an out, and he goes on an error to third base. That's a run.
Yeah, and, you know, the way that shifts go, they've sort of minimized the amount of ground balls that just sort of go through the infield, but and going back to taking Derek Law out, he gave up a hit. It was basically a ground ball that should have been where Brandon Crawford,
right,
like, would have been positioned normally.
He had a bad series, Brandon Crawford, and he's been great. And
two errors.
And, well, it was really Hunter Pence's fault, but on that home run that he didn't hit, you know, yeah, two errors. And he's, like, the best defensive shortstop, or him or Andrelton Simmons. All right, so anyway, so you think that the Nationals are going to win tonight?
Yeah, I think the Nationals are going
to
win.
Well, way to renege on your prediction of the series. All right. The stats of them.
I don't know. You think I remember what I said a week ago?
what site is this that has the percentage of them winning percent predictions?
538.
So 538 has equally them percentage of win the World Series as of today. And they have the favorite as the Cubs, Avi, and the Blue Jays. So let's talk about the ALCS.
Yes, sir.
Who game one is what? Estrada versus Kluber.
Yeah, it's an interesting series. So for the Indians, Tito announced his starting rotation.
See, I'm not insider enough. I still call him Terry, but go on, sorry.
Oh, yeah, Tito and I go back. Yeah, Kluber game one, Bauer two, Tomlin three, and then Clevinger is penciled in for game four, but he said that he'll use Clevinger out of the bullpen in game one or two if one of the starters gets knocked out early, which is kind of goes without saying. But I don't know. I mean, my heart is with the Indians on this series, but I think that if Kluber does not put together a really dominating start in the first game, I think that the Indians could be in trouble because, you know, Andrew Miller, yeah, he can go two innings, but he can't go two innings game one, two, and three.
Right,
so
right.
Ideally, if Kluber gets deep into this first start, then I like the Indians. But if not, I mean, you kind of got to favor the Blue Jays. Their starting rotation has been, you know,
yeah, Estrada pretty solid. Killed it. I know, Estrada, I mean, he had that great game. Sanchez played bad, though, but, I mean, whatever. But part of me, even though the Blue Jays, like, obviously have a better lineup, it's like there's something, like, intriguing in maybe a stupid anti-sabermetric retard mutt way, but it's like, oh, they have all these switch hitters, and then like, and they're like...
the Indians?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, there's something about just having all righties and then Blue Jays, and maybe some of them strike out a lot that, like... I don't love, but obviously 10 times out of 10, I'm taking their lineup. But like the Indians feel a little bit like the Royals with like yeah. great base running that everybody's given them credit for, and good defense, and putting the ball in play. Like,
and I think, you know, it's this kind of the same thing with the Royals. The Blue Jays are the sexy team because you have the big home run hitters, you have the big name at shortstop. But the Indians, man, like look at their infield though. It's really not that bad. You know, you have Jose Ramirez, you have Francisco Lindor, Kipnis, and then Santana. I mean, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Napoli, yeah. I mean,
and the catcher played great. He had a freaking great series against Perez. The Red Sox. Yeah, man.
He's a great defensive in the
field.
Catcher.
Yeah, yeah. He really was engaged. I mean, I had never watched him all year, but he. And I mean, I'm sure he was way worse, or whoever was catching for them, because like we've said, they were dead last in catching stats. But he had the giant tag up in game one with aggressive base running and the home run. He scored two runs in game one and helped them win that game. But then Josh Tomlin, like, how are you going to get another game like that against the Red Sox out of him against the Blue Jays? Or Trevor Bauer. It's like you'd almost rather have Corey Kluber start game two the way Terry had it set up. It's because he's exactly. the one of the three who can go deep. So it kind of sucks that it's set up that Kluber has to go game one, even though he's your ace, because you'd obviously want a bullpen game, have a starter go eight innings, then a bullpen game.
But this is, you know, this is
that's
the
a really good point, Ryan.
That is,
sorry, go on.
It is a really good point, and I'm actually gonna take your point and expand.
No,
upon
I wasn't
it.
Saying you were ignoring me. I was just patting myself on the back.
Yes, you're
I
so
touch
smart.
Myself in many ways.
Oh my god! but this is the difference between a 5 and 7 game series, right? Because Kluber, in the sort of outline you just mentioned with Kluber in game two, yeah, you'd like to break up Miller because Kluber can go deep. In a 5-game series, Kluber can only start 2 games. But in a 7-game series...
Yeah, that's true.
I think Tito would...
I forgot
again,
that, yeah.
Tito, you know, 1, 4, and 7.
You're right. But wait, doesn't that means one of them has to be on 3 days rest, right?
Yeah.
But he throws sinker balls, and there's rhetoric that sinker ballers... But pitchers in general, I mean, I guess the stats say that some of them don't do well on 3 days rest, but like Clayton Kershaw does well on 3 days rest. I forget every year that this is like the giant discussion in the playoffs too about 3 days rest. But, it's really nice having, what's his name, Cody Allen and Andrew Miller.
Shaw.
Good for 3 innings, Shaw.
I forget the guy who came out in the 6th. He's also solid.
I just don't see Otero. No, not Otero. What, but I just can't see, like, I believe that the Indians will win, but I can't point to where and why, except for that, like, some stupid part of me likes that they have, like, switch hitters and a good second and shortstop. Like, I don't know.
That is enough in and of itself. There's no part of that roster where you're like, we can exploit this advantage.
But don't you like, well, yeah, I guess you're right, except for Josh Tomlin or Bauer can so easily have a bad game, especially against a home run hitting team. Like, I think I would take the Blue Jays lineup and their rotation, wouldn't
yeah.
you? Well, that's what I mean. So it's really weird. Only the bullpen would I take the Indians.
Well, then fielding and base running Indians.
Yeah. No, you're right.
But it's back to that point again. It's like, well, how much better is this position group than the other one? And again, to your point, the lineup and the starting rotation, I think the lineup for the Blue Jays is much better than the Indians.
You have, right.
And, you know, the starting rotation, it's not that I think the Blue Jays have a phenomenal starting rotation. It's just that they're all healthy.
Yeah, yeah, and they're pitching well. Like, I don't like Stroman as a player all year, but Estrada had a great year. Stroman is good enough. You know, he gets hyped up and he plays well. You know,
went to Duke.
Sanchez could be good, even though he had a bad start. It's really up to them, which I hate saying that because I feel like a stupid analyst. But, like, if Estrada goes eight and one-thirds innings, I hate saying 8.1. Like, what? 8.1. We don't know stupid decimal. We don't know how decimals work. Then it's a wrap. So, who wins the World Series, Tom? Prediction right now. There's five teams left.
Cubs.
Wow. You heard it here first, guys. Hot take.
But if you
look
at
the Mariners.
The Mariners. The Yankees and Teixeira.
The Mariners. Oh, yeah, Matt in Staten Island. The Mariners could still. I think the Nationals are going to win the World Series.
Yeah.
Just for fun, yeah.
You know what's interesting? If you look at these odds for the World Series, they really. There was no series odds out yet for the Blue Jays and Indians. But if you look at the World Series odds, Toronto is plus 225 and Cleveland's plus 375. I mean, that seems a little bit drastic, I guess is the term.
Well,
maybe?
I mean, that seems about right because the Blue Jays are obviously going to be favored in the series, and then they're obviously less big underdogs in the World Series. It's just so crazy to think about that without Carrasco and Salazar. Yo, wait, one more thing before we're almost done, but I want to look up, is Strasburg, like, throwing, like, is there another stupid update? Like, Strasburg shaved his own face today.
They said the last that I saw is that if they advance, he would like to pitch. Which is like...
Wow, what a hot inside scoop.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he's going to come back. What is going to happen? I mean, I will side on the notion that he's not going to be able to get better in an additional, like, 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. What an interesting, what's it called? Like, that he signed that contract and now he's hurt again. 18 hours ago, Steven Strasburg suffers setback. Steven Strasburg bullpen session had to be cut short. It's like Steven Strasburg strained himself while taking a poop today. He pushed too hard, now changing his odds to defeat Donald Trump to 35%. So that's about it. What else you got to say, bro?
What else I got to say? I mean,
By the way, wait, we were right. When we did our stupid exercise about picking the team in the playoffs with the most best slots, what we did, for those who don't know, is we each took all the five playoff teams in each division, in each fucking league. Oh, God. I got to bleep that out.
Bleep.
In each league, and picked which teams had the most, like, best at each position. Like, and it was, like, the Cubs, obviously. And in the AL, I forget who it was. But in the Mets had the highest number of worst spots, and the Orioles had the highest number of worst spots, and they both were first out. Obviously, though, they had a high chance.
See, this is why, you know, you guys who are listening, you should take advantage while this is still free, because we're about to be paid next year for our postseason analysis.
Really?
I think so.
With A-Rod? We'll be A-Rod. Yo, A-Rod is the A-Rod of announcers. Actually, he had a little less of a good performance the other night. Like, he's not, he doesn't have great diction, like, his words aren't very clear, but what he says is great point.
Yeah, and he's just so suave.
Pete Rose steals his points. He steals A-Rod's points. A-Rod was like, well, if you look back at this team, and Pete, I know you'll agree with me, that they had this, and then Pete was like, yeah, well, Theo Epstein, like, he just repeats his point, like, after him.
I love Pete Rose. I mean, I know he is just totally delusional.
He said the other day on air, like, he's got to be careful. They were talking about previewing the NLCS after the Cubs won, and he was like, yeah, the Cubs are definitely going to be favored either who they play, and you could see the wheels in his head turning about what the odds were going to be. And he was like, yeah, they're definitely going to be favored either who they play, and then he, like, cut himself short and was like, but they're playing well right now, and then just, like, bit his tongue to not talk about the odds.
He doesn't care.
What do you mean he doesn't care? He's still a degenerate. He's still a total degenerate.
That's what I mean. He doesn't care.
Oh, you mean he doesn't care if we know?
He doesn't care. Well, I mean, come on, look. If when he had that whole, you know, thing where he went and met with the commissioner, if he really, really cared about what he thinks, he would at least try to say that he stopped gambling.
Yeah, he could have faked it a little bit.
Where like, he's like, oh, well, I remember in America, my grandpa went to the horse racing track and he bet. And I like to do that sometimes.
Yeah, he's such an idiot. Even if like he was the most, like, yo, you take the average junkie on the street. And they know. Lie about your addiction. It's addiction 101.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell don't you get, Pete? Give me a call if you need more tips.
My favorite thing was, like, he has this restaurant in Las Vegas where he has, like, a Game of Thrones chair, basically, with baseball bats, which is kind of cool. But it was just so funny when Ichiro was chasing 3,000 hits. People were saying, oh, well, is Ichiro the real hit king? And they add his, like, Japanese stats to it. So, like, Pete Rose and his restaurant did this whole, like, social media campaign, like, adding Pete Rose's minor league hits to his hits. And he's like, I did it all in America.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I guess there is something refreshing about a guy.
Hey, congratulations. You have a new match on Tinder.
Sweet. Thanks, iPad. Thanks, validation, guys.
Thank you, Cloud.
Thank you, Cloud. All right, so that'll do it. Again, Mariners winning the World Series. No, the Nationals. And
that's your match, by the way. I don't have Tinder.
The Nationals. Hey, all right. Way to judge me backhandedly. I don't need Tinder. I desperately do. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Subscribe, yo. Leave a review, please.
And use a unique username.
And use a unique username.
Like Brian Teixeira.
Just type in KJ Bay, like just slam on your keyboard.
Mac Double.
It's already on your phone. All right, Jamal, I hope you're all right with your priapism. Thanks.
Bye.
And thank you, Matt and Staten.
Lorenzo Riggins was hungry when he walked into the East Albany McDonald's last night.
I went in to order 7 McDoubles and 1 chicken and 1 fry.
But after he walked outside, he says he noticed that wasn't what he got.
I live at the store without checking it. But when I got to my truck and I got ready to leave, I looked in the bag and come to find out I didn't have but 6 McDoubles.
Riggins says he took the bag inside and talked to an employee hoping to get his other hamburger, but things didn't turn out so well.
I had bought some Chinese food and it's not to par to me, and I asked to get my money back and they acted like they don't understand me and took my food and won't give me my money back.
And this is why you called 911?
What am I supposed to do? Jump over the thing and beat them up and get my money back?
You could have called the regular police line instead of the life-threatening emergency line.